All right, meteorologist Jim Corbin will join us in just a couple of moments as he takes our next look at the weather forecast. Coming up to 2 minutes after 9 here on this Tuesday morning. Partly cloudy skies, 54 degrees. Jim is calling for some heavy rain by this afternoon, but that's not for a while. But right now in studio, we have a gentleman by the name of Dave LaSalle. He is the owner and operator of School of Rock, which is located in South Attleboro on Route 1. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
All right. I'm glad to have you in here. The School of Rock, kind of taken back to the old movie with Jack Black, but you're not Jack Black.
No. I am not, no.
You're not Jack. but you do play musical instruments. Well, nice to have you here. Congratulations on the School of Rock.
Thank you.
Before we start with the program, if you want to get more information on School of Rock, let's give some free publicity on it. Where are you located? How can people get more information on this?
Sure. We're located right on Route 1 in Attleboro, 185 Washington Street. We just started a soft opening probably about 6 weeks ago, and we're leading towards our grand opening event on Sunday. We also have a ribbon cutting coming up on Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock. You know, School of Rock is a performance-based music education school. It's a franchise that has about 170 schools now in seven different countries. So there's about 20,000 kids that are enrolled in our program. Mm-hmm. So it's been growing quite rapidly over the last several years. And this will be the fifth location in Massachusetts.
And you said it's a nationwide school.
It is. International.
Well? International.
International, yeah, several schools.
Where did it actually start up?
School of Rock began in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. The founder was Paul Green. Started with one school initially, which led to three schools. And this is back in about the 2004 timeframe. And it had great success. And actually, Paramount Pictures, funny story, actually found out about what he was doing because it started growing so rapidly and he was putting together phenomenal performances with kids. And mm-hmm. people were wondering how he could get young kids to play so well so quickly that they took an interest immediately in what he was doing and studied the schools that he had. And then eventually turned that into the movie that everyone knows about, mm-hmm. you know, the School of Rock movie. So it was a nice and it was good for Paul Green and the business in general because they got a lot of publicity out of that movie when it became so popular.
And what about you? Your background? I know you've started this school. Where were you before this? And I know that you also been playing in bands as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been playing music since I was about 6 years old. My very first instrument was the accordion at six. Studied with Lucille Wedgemont and Woonsocket. Mm-hmm. I actually grew up in the Northern Rhode Island area. I moved to keyboards and piano by the time I was about 8 years old. Because I had a lot more fun with that because of the different sounds I could get out of keyboards, and I started really embracing synthesizers mm-hmm. and building sounds and that sort of thing. My family's always been a musical family. My two older brothers were professional musicians by the time they were 12 and 14 years old, and I was much younger than them at the same mm-hmm. time, but I could remember when they were building their rock band back in the garage when I was a small youngster. And they eventually started playing professionally. It was a band by the name of UVL in the Northern Rhode Island area, and it became very popular when they were teenagers, doing a lot of general business, weddings, mm-hmm. functions, high school proms, and then later went to nightclubs and playing shows all over the state. So, of course, I watched them grow that band, and I saw the success that they were having, because back in that time frame, this was the late 70s and early 80s, music, live music was very prevalent. It was very popular in the clubs, especially in the 70s. Nightclubs was a really happening place to go. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of live music. It was really, really good.
A lot of clubs back then, too.
Yeah.
A lot more than they are now.
Right. And so that always looked very exciting to me as a 10, 12-year-old youngster mm-hmm. watching his older brothers have so much fun playing that I kept begging them to join the band. And finally, by the time I was 14, I got allowance from my parents to join the band as long as I was under tight supervision. Mm-hmm. So I actually joined the band and started playing with them professionally when I was 14. And that band continued for yet another 10 or 12 years after that. So it was a really fun part of my life because what I learned about being involved in music so young is really a lot of what is embodied in the School of Rock mm-hmm. methodology. And, right. and it really talks about, when you take a young student and you get them involved in music, And you do it in a way that's much more rewarding than just music lessons. I remember I took piano lessons, and I learned Beethoven and that sort of stuff, and I never really enjoyed it. I mean, I couldn't wait for my lesson to be over so I could take a Steely Dan album off and start playing the music I liked and start jamming and playing fun music. You know, when you're building a rock band, it has a lot of those similar type traits where you're working towards a performance. You're working, you know, you've got to practice. I remember practicing 2-3 nights a week after I joined my brother's band. And then we had 3 or 4 professional jobs to play functions over the weekend. So it was a very hectic schedule, but it was also very, very rewarding because I learned a lot of things like discipline. I learned, hard work. I learned what it was like to, initially getting up on a stage. Uh-huh. You know, I like to say the stage is the ultimate teacher. Yeah. Because it is. When a young student goes through that whole process of development and they finally make it to that first show. You know, they've got they're on pins and needles, they're sweaty palms, they're worried about stage fright, many of them. But then they get through the performance and they pull it off and they do a great job and then they get kudos and high fives from their friends. I mean, it's just an amazing, rewarding experience. You see many kids have breakthroughs when they go through that process.
Right.
Well, that's what School of Rock really does with music. It's way more than music lessons. It's music lessons done differently. You know, we focus on a show. We start with a performance and then we reverse engineer it backwards. We assess all of our students. Look at their skills, their capabilities. We take students that are just starting out, and we have adolescents that have been playing for many years. And we cast them. We have a unique casting process that we use, which essentially takes each student and puts them in the right spot in the show. So we select those songs in such a way where all of the kids can be involved in the show and really utilizing their skills at whatever level they happen to be in during their musical journey. And then we continue building that show for about a 14 or 16 week process. And then ultimately the kids, we take them out to a major venue in the community somewhere and they get up on that big stage. They get up in front of those lights and there's 100 people sitting there watching them. The parents have their iPhones with the video cameras all rolling and the kids get up and they feel like rock stars for a couple hours. I mean, it's an amazing process. It's when I first started looking into School of Rock, it was about, I've always had a concept of building what I call the music academy. You know, 5 years ago, I started talking about this concept that I had, and I didn't even know anything about School of Rock. I had not heard of it yet. But I've always had this concept that I wanted to get kids performing in the band environment, in the rehearsal environment. And then one day I happened to be driving by the Seekonk School of Rock. There's another location in Seekonk, and I saw these little kids playing out on a flatbed trailer out in the parking lot in the summer. And I said, I'm a musician, so I've got to go see this. So I pull in there and I take a look at it, and all of a sudden I find out it's the grand opening for the Seekonk School of Rock. And they had these kids that were just playing on the flatbed, and they were sounding amazing. I was like, how's that coming out of a 10-year-old kid playing on guitar? And there's a little drummer back there. I can barely see his head above the cymbals, but he's wailing on the drums, and he's playing great. And it's like and that sparked my attention and immediately started looking into the whole School of Rock franchise and concept, because really the infrastructure is already there. Many of the things that I was thinking of creating were already done in terms of the infrastructure and the methodology. It was very much a marriage made in heaven where it was exactly what I was thinking. So I really got interested in it.
All right. We are here with Dave LaSalle. He is the owner and operator of School of Rock, which is on Route 1 in South Attleboro. We're going to be checking back with more with him in just a second. But meteorologist Jim Corbin is also back with us once again as we take our next look at the weather forecast. Jim?
Well, Dom, it's about 60 degrees warmer than it was 2 days ago on Sunday morning. It's quiet now in terms of rain, but we're going to get some rain heavy at times late this afternoon. I'd say after 3 or 4 o'clock through about 7 or 8 this evening. Also, some strong winds up to 50 miles an hour at times. Gusting could take down some tree limbs. There could be some scattered power outages around the area. Again, nothing widespread, but it's unfortunate if it does happen to you, if you're in the area, to anyone, really. And then quieting down late tonight and tomorrow, sun and clouds. Both days will be mild, although a little cooler tomorrow. Today, upper 50s, mid-40s tomorrow, 30s on Thursday and Friday. The good news for the Attleboro Winter Festival at this point, the weather should be comfortable somewhere in the low 40s and mostly on the dry side. So again, kind of wild later this afternoon, but then the rest of the week looks pretty good.
All right, sounds good, Jim. We'll talk to you in about a half hour or so.
Okay.
All right, we're here with Dave LaSalle, who is the owner and operator of School of Rock in South Attleboro. There's an interesting story that we shared last week when I was talking to Dave on the phone about, you know, you said you started off in as an accordion player, is how I started off when I was 10 years old as well. When I went to high school, when I was in the school, LaSalle Academy in Providence, my freshman year, I played the glockenspiels, the bells, you know, the standing up xylophone, and then the next 3 years played the lead alto sax, and then stayed with the sax until college as well. But my very first time playing the glockenspiels, we're at the St. Patrick's Day Parade in New York City. Now, everybody's like, all right, great, this is great, you know, we're doing this and that. And all of a sudden, we're getting ready to count down, you know, they're getting ready to come down, and all say, okay, we're going to head off onto Fifth Avenue, and boom, okay. And this thing is televised, like, nationwide and all over the place, and We start 1, 2, 3, 4. We start blowing When Irish Eyes Are Smiling. And the first note I hit, my mallet, the top of my mallet flies off. And it goes about a quarter of a mile. I have no idea where it went. It was a red top of my mallet. And I'm hitting it, you know, like boom. And all of a sudden, the top of it like flies over. And I don't know, like I said, I don't know where it went. It may have hit another kid. Who knows where. But we're heading down Fifth Avenue. We don't have an extra mallet, you know, don't have an extra one. So I'm going back and forth, and I'm doing the same. I'm hitting all the right notes and stuff like that. All of a sudden, we're halfway done, and who's coming down? There's an NBC camera guy, and he's on his knees, and he's in between all of us. And where has he put his mic? Right next to my instrument. It's like, oh God. And he can't hear anything because I'm not. But it was the funniest thing. And at the very end of the parade, it was 5 miles long. And all of a sudden, you know, we stop and we get back. And then all of a sudden, our band director, I was telling him, I says, the mallet fell, you know, the top of it fell off. And I mean, make a long story short, and they said, were you on television too? I'm like, yeah. And like, he says, well, you know, whatever, but it was, you know, everything else was being drowned out, you know, my stuff. But, and then, you know, we talked about that for the next week while we were in New York, and then back coming up here back to Providence. They said, yeah, one of my very first things is hitting that, and then the mallet just flies off the air. And it was just the top of the mallet that it was a little red top of it. And it was like a plastic or glass thing. But that was.
You can never predict these little malfunctions that happen in live performance.
No.
It's funny. My second instrument was the trombone. Mm-hmm. And I selected it because it was a school instrument. Dickie Parent was running the elementary program at East Woonsocket School. And so I signed up for trombone because I wanted to be. What I liked about the trombone players was in the marching band, you always got the front row. Mm-hmm. And I remember there was one particular parade that we were in, and I went a little too far in the sixth position on the trombone, and the slide came right off and hit the street. Okay. So of course I had to bend down and pick it up, and all the kids behind me started bottlenecking.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you could have never predicted that.
No,
it was
really
a lot of fun.
The other thing that you have at the School of Rock, you don't have regular band instruments. People will learn the rock and roll instruments. Which now, how did you come up with that? Now, now will a kid come up to you and, you know, if they wanted to play trumpet or something like that? It basically, you're not teaching that though.
Yeah, we focus on the core instruments of a rock and roll performance, mm-hmm. And we do that for a reason, because guitar, bass, drums, vocals, and keyboards really span the gamut of all the fundamentals. Mm-hmm. And it ties in really nice with rock and roll music. As rock and roll music has a unique trait about it in that the way it's constructed, it lends itself to young musicians. Mm-hmm. It's fun music. It's interesting music. You know, people like playing rock music. And those instruments really help you see many students that'll come in and start with bass or guitar lessons, and then they do that for a few years, and they can springboard into other instruments.
Mm-hmm.
So it really provides a good foundation for their musical journey. And, you know, we focus on those particular instruments because we think it's important to not be so diversified that, you know, we're spreading ourselves too thin. We stay focused on, you know, what we're creating is a show. We're creating a rock and roll show, and we do other genres. You know, mm-hmm. we're starting my first performance group now is working on British Invasion. So we generally select some type of musical genre, and we work around that. With British Invasion, you get a lot of Kinks, Rolling Stones, a lot of Beatles.
Yeah.
Those songs are perfect for a young student. I can take a either a Pink Floyd song or a Beatles song, and I can cast either a beginning guitar student or a student that's been playing for several years. Mm-hmm. And that's why that music is so versatile, because it's important. What we want to do is when I have a brand new student who's just learning, I don't want them sitting on the sidelines. Right. They're going to be in a show. Come that day when we get out there, there's a pot for that student to play that's going to be just right for where they are. And we're going to make sure they're up on a stage. And many times we'll take a brand new student and then we'll pair them up with a more experienced student, and they're sort of playing together with each other so that the younger student is actually learning a lot from the student who's a little more advanced. So you see that collaboration begin to unfold with the students amongst themselves, just within the performance.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you have a student out there, and basically you're looking at, it doesn't really matter what age can you start until they're adults, right?
Well, we have programs that scan all of the ages. Mm-hmm. It starts with our rookies program. Our rookies program is for children under 7. Mm-hmm. What that is, it's a one-hour group session. So that is mostly a mixture of games and some of the fundamentals of music. So we have 3 instructors that will be playing lots of different music. We're teaching the kids. The kids will sit in a circle with drumsticks, or boom whackers, various other instruments, and they're going to start learning some basic rhythm exercises. Mm-hmm. And we're playing it to various songs. We might use TNT by AC/DC.
Right.
And then we give them microphones. And start letting them explore with the microphone. We have, with that particular group, we have the scaled-down guitars, a little mini guitar, a mini mm-hmm. drum set, and a mini keyboard. And so all of the students get to explore all the various instruments. They get to sing in the mic. They get to play with the guitar. The guitar is going to be a mini squire that has only 2 strings on. It's going to have an A and a D string. And it's simplified so that a small student with a little hand can actually get a mm-hmm. chord out of it. It's a little power chord. And they play on that. And then they do some, you know, so that's the young kids, the under 7 group. Then the next group is the 8, 9, 10, and 11-year-olds. That's our Rock 101 program. With that particular program, that's when they graduate into something a little more intense than the rookies program. The rookies program is a simple one-hour group session each week. That's what they do. When you get into Rock 101, that starts to entail, by that point, the student has selected a certain instrument. They've become fond of the guitar or the drums or some various instrument, and they're ready for lessons. So that's when we start giving them 30-minute lessons, followed by a 90-minute band rehearsal. So within that program, there's actually 2 visits to the school. Mm-hmm. The 90-minute band rehearsal is a mixture of, we do some of the fundamentals with music, teaching them rhythm patterns. We may teach them basic music theory, some of the fundamentals so that they can begin to create that foundation. But then in the second portion of the rehearsal, we get them together in a jam, and they're putting together songs, and they're playing as a group.
And then, you know, as with all these these videos out there now, you know, the Guitar Hero, Aerosmith, and everything else, they must, you know, some of these kids who already know some of that, it must make it a little easier. Now, of course, do you get kids in there who have already taking lessons, or they know how to, you know, get their hands here on the guitar or whatever. But I'm thinking that, which is also another cool instrument, is the bass guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you get that bass, there's only the 4 strings there. I mean, that's going to be kind of a cool instrument too, because these kids, you know, down the line, they want to do this. They want to do the acoustic guitar. They want to do this and that, or the rhythm guitar, the same thing. But I think bass guitar, you've got that beat, you know, that they're going to.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a little boy and his dad showed up on one of our Saturdays, just came in, driving by, came in and wanted to check out the school, and he had never touched a bass before. So mm-hmm. we sat him down in a chair and put a bass on him, hooked him up to an amp, and he started playing. He started playing some basic little notes that we were showing him, mm-hmm. and you know, soon thereafter, they wanted to enroll into the Rock 101 program, and he's been with us now probably 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And this particular student is just, he is, you can tell he has the rhythm. It's built in. It's come out of him so quickly that it's amazed all the teachers, because, you know, what started with his first touch of a bass guitar has led to him playing. He's probably got two or three songs under his belt now, and he's already playing with the ensemble and playing together with the rock band, and he's dancing around while he's playing. He can feel the beat. You can see, you can, sometimes these kids come in and you can see there's a natural tendency. You know, I had one 9-year-old drummer that came in, and his dad told me that he had been a big fan of Rush since he was a little boy. Now, he's only 9 now, but he went to his first Rush concert at age 6. Wow. And he's been studying Neil Peart ever since then. So I said, so when he came in, I said, you know, the dad had explained this to me. So I sat him up on one of our big drum kits, a full-size kit, just to see what would happen. I didn't think much would come out of it. I figured, well, you know, he's a 9-year-old boy. Let's see what he's got. And he started playing and wailing on the drums. And my guitar teacher, who's also a Rush fan, started playing YYZ by Rush and started going right into the drum pad. And of course, all my teachers had to jump in and start jamming. So I've got my teachers jamming with this little 9-year-old boy who's wailing on the drums to Rush. I mean, and if you know anything about drum music, I mean, Rush and Neil Peart are some of the, I mean, many drummers in the industry look up to Neil Peart as one of the better drummers in the business.
One thing that when you just mentioned about the bass guitar, we're talking about it now. Did they, down the line, do you do the wireless instruments, like, you know, like Verdeen White from Earth, Wind & Fire, you know, just dances around the stage like a nut for 3 hours. I mean, I'm a huge Earth, Wind & Fire fan, but I know, unfortunately, Maurice White, who passed away just a couple of weeks ago, but seeing Verdeen White, you know, on stage, and it's just like, it's amazing how much talent this guy's had for over 30 years and all of the members there. Do you do things like down the line, you do wireless instruments?
Yeah, we'll be incorporating technology into our performance as we go along. Right now, it's a little early on with our particular students. They're just getting started with their first performances. But when it starts coming into the wireless technology, sequencing, and all the other, there's so many different things you can add into music these days. And it's funny to talk about Verdeen and stage. I mean, first thing that comes to mind with him is stage presence. Oh, I mean, the way that guy dances on a stage. And that's one of the things where we're already
starting. He's so thin.
But he's got so much energy. And the way he can really follow the beat and follow the rhythm. You know, there's so many different things that we're beginning to work on with our students, and stage presence is one of them, because that's why I built the stage in our school. When you come into our school, there's a student lounge and there's a nice stage. It's almost set up like a cafe with high top tables. I mean, so it's a great place for the kids to begin exploring stage presence. When they get up on that stage, you know, we don't want them to stand there with the microphone and look like a bump on a log. They have to learn how to start having a stage presence. But then there's also things like dynamics. You know, when young musicians get started, they need to develop dynamics. What I mean by dynamics is, in certain parts of a song, it gets really quiet, it gets really mellow, and then it builds up to another climax area where it starts getting louder and more instruments come. And you know, we're beginning to practice those sort of things with our students as well. And you've got to be up on a stage to do that. You know, when the bass player turns around, looks at the drummer, and they both know they're going to get real quiet so that the girl out front with a soft voice can be heard, those are things you can't teach in the classroom. No. You can't read in a book. You've got to be sitting there on a stage with professional musicians who have done it, that will get up on a stage and show them how to do it, and then hand them back the instrument and say, now you try it. And that's what we do.
That is great. I know that, as you said, there's the grand opening is this coming Friday. I mean, not Sunday, but the grand opening, the ribbon cutting is on Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock. We're going to take a quick break. We got a lot more to talk about with Dave LaSalle from School of Rock in South Attleboro right after these messages.
Hope Artiste Village, located on Main Street in Pawtucket, is the place to be on Saturdays throughout the winter season. Local vendors will be available from 9 till 1 p.m. at the Pawtucket Wintertime Farmers Market with a variety of in-season fruits, vegetables, eggs, and so much more. To find out what's up and growing each and every week at the market, visit the web at Pawtucket/Wintertime Farmers Market. Buy fresh. By local.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like
a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Spring is in the air, and it just so happens to be just in time to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the Attleboro Arts Museum's Flower Show. Garden Party sets the theme for the celebration, starting with a sneak peek benefit on Wednesday, March 16th from 6 to 8 p.m. The show officially opens to the public on the 17th through the 20th. Enjoy the beauty of nature at the museum located on Park Street with lush landscapes, floral installations, and original artwork displayed throughout the main gallery. For more information, visit their website, attleboroartsmuseum.org. An English afternoon tea will take place in celebration of the 150th anniversary of the Centenary United Methodist Church located on Sanford Street in Attleboro on Sunday, February the 28th from 2:30 till 4 o'clock p.m. The event will be themed around the sixth season finale of a popular Edwardian-era public television series. You're encouraged to dress in character or simply wear period hats and gloves. This is a community-wide event and everyone is invited, but seating is limited. For more information, call 508-222-1759.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
The up-and-coming 2016 Rhode Island Spring Flower and Garden Show will run from Thursday, February the 18th through Sunday the 21st at the Rhode Island Convention Center. Spring Fling marks the theme with a dazzling array of landscape and floral displays created by well-seasoned designers, ready to refresh with a long-awaited spring experience. For more information, visit their website at www.flowershow.com.
All right, back with us here, we have Dave LaSalle, the owner and operator of School of Rock in South Attleboro. Once again, Dave, why don't we just tell the people again how they can get more information with this great school.
Yes, we're located on Route 1 in Attleboro, 185 Washington Street. And you can reach us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. We also have our website, which is School of Rock, AttleboroSchoolOfRock.com. Mm-hmm. And you can, if you're interested in coming in to do a free lesson, we offer a free demo session to all new students that want to come in and see the school and try us out. And that's usually how we get people to understand what it's all about. Because like I said earlier, we're not doing just lessons. So we'll take a student that comes in and we'll give them an abbreviated lesson, about 20 minutes or so. And, and even a beginner will teach them a simple song of some sort and get them going. And then we'll put them in a rehearsal with some other students or teachers and get them jamming. So within 30 to 45 minutes, the student has had a chance to experiment with a lesson and then also jam as part of a band. And that really gives both the parent and a student a good overview of what we're doing in our performance program, but it's an abbreviated session.
When I was talking to you a few days ago, we talked about maybe getting a celebrity musician in the area to maybe the coming down this week. I know that, as we've said, Joey Kramer from Aerosmith is opening up his new coffee shop up the road up in North Attleboro within the next couple of months. But we also talked to Ernie Bach up in the area too. Has Ernie in the Automatics? And he's now working with some of the former band members from Boston as well. But you also mentioned something else about when you get, and I love this event. You're getting the kids, hopefully, as they do kind of their breaking of the instruments on the stage, like some of the Who did back then.
Yeah, at our grand opening on Sunday, One of the traditions of every school of rock that opens is what we call the guitar smashing mm-hmm. ceremony. And I'll be doing that early on in the afternoon where we get a, you know, it'd break my heart to break a real good guitar.
Yeah, right.
So I would never take a Gibson 335 or something like that. But I've got a little... Not a toy guitar, but a cheap guitar that will do that ceremony with the guitar smashing. But it really is a good way to kick off a new school because it leads back to the roots of Pete Townsend and The Who and some of the older musicians from that era.
Now will they do the initial swinging of his arms? You know, Pete Townsend used to swing his arms.
Yeah, the windmill.
Yeah, basically, really.
I might try to do that.
You could do that. You know, give us a little information on some of your teachers there. You know, a little plug for who's working with you.
Sure, I've been really fortunate to put together a great team of teachers. All of our teachers are professional musicians that are. Playing in bands in the area. Most of them are multi-instrumentalists, so my teachers can play very well, piano, guitar, bass, drums, and vocals. So we've got a real good team that's put together. Some of the names are Betsy Listenfeld is a singer-songwriter from the local area who's on board with us doing both our rookies program and vocal lessons. Pete Sanema is another musician that's been playing in a number of phenomenal bands since the 80s in this area. Some of the best bands in the club scene of the 80s and 90s. And Pete can play any instrument, and drums and guitar. Also have Carl Bugby, who's also a phenomenal teacher, playing, teaches keyboards, guitar, and vocals. And teacher, Mike Bazzanotti, has an interesting story about him. He's a local Attleboro guy. He's actually an alumni from the School of Rock. He's about 25, 26 years old right now. Back in the 2007 time frame, he was going to the School of Rock in Boston. There's a School of Rock in Watertown. And Mike is an amazing guitar player. If you want to see a guy play Van Halen, come down and see the teacher jam on Sunday at the grand opening. Mike will be doing his version of Eruption, Van Halen's Eruption. Wow. And Mike was so advanced with his guitar skills at a young age that when he went to the Watertown School of Rock, he got selected as the School of Rock All-Stars. Nice. Now, the School of Rock All-Stars is an amazing program. It's basically the best of the best from all the schools worldwide. Mm-hmm. So maybe 2% of the students get selected to be in the All-Stars. And every school has the opportunity to audition for the All-Stars. And each summer, those students essentially all come together at corporate headquarters and then go on a tour. Mm-hmm. So those kids put together a show of their own, and they go on a tour just like a touring band. They will go play music festivals like Gathering of the Vibes in Bridgeport, Connecticut, Lollapalooza. They go play some of the biggest stages in the country. They play alongside many artists that are out at these music festivals. Mm-hmm. And these kids have a great time. And Mike was one of those School of Rock All-Stars back in the 2007-2008 time frame. And what's nice about that is Mike... With having Mike on staff, he can talk to the students about what it was like. He can explain to them what it was like going through School of Rock when he did it, and also what it took to get onto the All-Stars stage and how to get through that process. Because there will be some kids that come through our school that will definitely be on their way to going to All-Stars, and we're really looking forward to that.
Now you also teach vocal. You teach how do they do the method on basically learning how to sing. You know, I know you've got all the vocal. You know, you have to learn the chords and stuff like that. You know, but how does someone start the singing? You know, down the line. I mean, I know American Idol is not coming up anymore, but how does one get out there to start things? You know, getting on the stage. First of all, stage presence is important.
Yes, absolutely. Well, vocals is very similar to like many of the other instruments. I mean, it starts with singing fun songs because we want our vocal students to really be motivated. Mm-hmm. But we phase in right away are some of the fundamentals. It's important to be able to do tone matching, scales, to understand how to warm up before a performance, how to warm up before an event. you know, and how to breathe. You know, breathing from your diaphragm when you're a vocalist is very, very important. Mm-hmm. And we're working with young kids that are just starting out in many cases. So it's very important that we teach them the fundamentals so that they don't hurt themselves. Because sure. You can do damage to your voice if you don't sing properly. If you don't get the right breathing, you can actually hurt yourself in the long term. So one of the things we did to really jumpstart that whole process, because I was lucky enough to get lots of vocalists. I have in my performance program, I think, 6 14-year-old girls that are all singing. So we're casting them into all various roles. And I brought in a specialist 2 weeks ago on a Saturday to do a vocal workshop. Edwin Millen is a teacher in the area that actually specializes in vocal performance. Went to Boston Conservatory, mastered in vocal performance. Really has a great grasp of the fundamentals of breathing techniques and how to sing properly. So we spent a 2-hour workshop with all of our vocalists on a Saturday, essentially laying that groundwork so that they would understand proper singing technique and proper breathing exercises.
Mm-hmm. That's got to be interesting. That's got to be really cool too, because you know, some of these kids and adults who may want to, instead of doing instruments, you know, there's probably some kids out there that's like, oh, I don't want to do that. But singing, I mean, to be part of a group, you know, you have to, sometimes you do have to sing either background or you may have to be the lead vocal and whatever they are, I mean, whatever the songs they are. We talked a little bit about drums as well. You said, you know, drums are, I mean, it's a great, cool instrument as well. But, you know, the old Sofara song, Wipeout, has got to be one of those songs that, you know, kids will probably like, oh, yeah. But some of the kids now, when that came out in the 60s, people were like, what the heck is this? You know, mm-hmm. are there newer songs that kids or, you know, adults can start doing, you know, that has, you know, a good drum solo in it?
Yeah, there's a number of songs that have, I like to look at it as syncopated drum rhythms, because mm-hmm. You know, with a new student, you know, you're going to start with basic rock beats, you're going to start with basic beats. With a drummer, it's very important to get them to be synchronized, you know, so that's why they need to practice with mm-hmm. a metronome. It takes time and effort to be able to play steady, because what ultimately happens, it's human nature. Every new student slows down, speeds up.
Now there's a name that I used to use when I was playing accordion, the metronome, the thing metronome that goes back and forth. Did people still use those?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that's great.
I mean, it is. We had it on the other night, and it's the best tool to get a new drummer to really hone in their technique. In fact, when I was at the School of Rock convention in Las Vegas 3 months ago, all the owners come together for this convention, and the keynote speaker was this gentleman called Mark Shulman. Mm-hmm. Mark Shulman is the current drummer for Pink and also played with Foreigner for a number of years, very experienced drummer, and he gave us a story about how he failed his first audition for Bad English. I don't know if you remember that band back
sure,
in the
sure
80s, I think it was, and he actually failed the audition.
Was it Melt With You? The song, one of their big songs.
Yeah, and Neil Sean from Journey was in it, and several others. Anyhow, what he told us was that he went in there with so much stage fright and nervousness because of the artists that he was meeting with for the audition that he kept speeding up and slowing down. And he lost the audition because of that. And what he did for the next 8 months is he played with a metronome mm-hmm. every day, and he kept just, you know, playing a drum beat and slowing down the beat. He might have started with 130 beats per minute, then he went 110 beats per minute and 80 beats per minute. And he did this for 8 months to train his brain to play steady with a metronome. And that became one of his biggest life experiences in terms of how to really take his skills to the next level.
Yeah, as you said, the metronome, I mean, that's how I learned the beat, even when I was playing an accordion, too. I mean, but, God, I haven't seen one of those in ages, my God. I mean, it really is. It's one of those pieces that you would use to really, you know, get you in time of everything mm-hmm. as well. Okay, we are going to take our last update on the weather forecast. Meteorologist Jim Corbin now back with us once again, Jim.
Well, Dom, not bad right now. It's getting a little gusty out there in terms of the winds, not much rain around, but it's going to be wet and wild late this afternoon. I'd say the rough time frame is between around 4 and 8 p.m., so if you're going to avoid that being outside, if you have a chance, I would, because we're going to have rain, perhaps even some embedded thunder, wind gusting over 50 miles an hour at times, and so that could take down a few branches, and we could be, again, having issues with power outages. Highs, though, the only good thing, mid to upper 50s, quieting down with westerly winds taking over late this evening and overnight, falling to the 30s, and then it looks like sun and clouds, mid-40s tomorrow, 30s both Thursday and Friday, maybe some flurries over towards Plymouth and the Cape. And then right now it looks like mostly dry weather for the weekend and no extremes in weather. So the real extreme in weather is going to take place in about a four-hour time frame late this afternoon and this evening. And then it's pretty much clear sailing the rest of the week.
All right. Sounds good, Jim. All right. We will talk to you bright and early in the morning again.
All right. Talk to you then. Thanks.
All right, Jim. Thanks. Have a great day. All right. 9:42. We're going to take another quick break here. Be back with some more information on the School of Rock in South Attleboro with the owner and operator, Dave LaSalle.
Hope Artiste Village, located on Main Street in Pawtucket, is the place to be on Saturdays throughout the winter season. Local vendors will be available from 9 till 1 p.m. at the Pawtucket Wintertime Farmers Market with a variety of in-season fruits, vegetables, eggs, and so much more. To find out what's up and growing each and every week at the market, visit the web at Pawtucket/Wintertime Farmers Market. Buy fresh, buy local.
Okay, Simon, what are you wearing right now?
Nothing.
That's right. And what do people normally wear?
Clothes.
Exactly. So now Mommy's going to teach you how to dress yourself. Clothes keep us warm, they look good, and if we go out without them, the neighbors will talk. So it's important to know how to get dressed. Here's how it's done. Underwear always comes first, name tag at the back, then pants, then shirt. Get the first button in the right hole, or you have to start all over. If you're wearing a tie, it goes over, round, round, through, and pull tight. Tuck your shirt into your pants and zip up your fly. Socks go in first, then shoes, right on right, left on left. With shoelaces, just take the ends, cross them over, switch the loops, the rabbit goes down the hole, pull tight, and you're left with bunny ears.
I love bunnies.
Good to know. Now remember, spots don't go with stripes, socks don't go with sandals, and if you've tucked in your shirt, wear a belt. Got it? Why are your pants on your head?
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
All right, back with us in this last 15 minutes or so. It's 9:44. We have Dave LaSalle, the owner and operator of School of Rock on Route 1 in Attleboro. First of all, before we get into some other things down there, Friday afternoon and then Sunday afternoon as well, what can people expect what's going to go on at the School of Rock?
On Friday afternoon, we're having a ribbon cutting ceremony. So we'll have refreshments. We've invited any local politicians, business owners, professionals, and any other friends of the school that would like to come down and share the event with us. It'll be 2 o'clock. It'll probably last about a half hour, 45 minutes. We'd give a good opportunity for us to give a tour of the school and tell other people what we're doing. On Sunday, it's going to be a four-hour event. That's our grand opening. We have a full day packed with live music on our stage at the school. I've got the Seacock House Band coming. So there's a Seacock School of Rock, and they have a house band, which is their most experienced students. And what happens with a school's house band is they generally go out on a regular basis to community events, some charitable events. They do fundraisers. They just play because the kids love to play. Sure. They love to play live, so they're always looking for gigs. So they're coming down to open up our event on Sunday. So they're going to play from 12 to 1. Then we're going to have a teacher jam. Some of my teachers are putting together a bunch of songs very quickly to put on a little performance with guitar, bass, and drums, just showing the teachers playing. Then I have Betsy Listenfeldt will be playing a 45-minute set after that. And then myself and my brothers will be doing the final act of the day. I've got a band called Take Two, which is my brother and I, and we've been playing for several years. We play local venues locally, outdoor patio at Coachman's Lodge. We play various other venues. So it's a fun event. And then I also have a little project I've been doing with my other brother, Ken, which is basically a studio project. Him and I have been working together for probably the last 5 years in the studio, where we put together instrumental versions of songs. We do Hotel California, Dream On by Aerosmith, and we kind of put together our own little instrumental arrangement of all these classic songs, because it was just the two of us, and neither of us were interested in singing in that project, but we really liked experimenting with all kinds of different versions of instrumentals with cool songs that we like. So the three of us are going to put together a little set at the end of the day. So we have a jam-packed schedule of live music throughout the day, and we're encouraging everyone to come down and get a tour of the school, show you the rehearsal room, show you what we're all about, give you some basic information about what we do, and have some refreshments, hang out, and listen to some great live music.
Now, the school, you've had more of a soft opening this last week or so, and you do have quite a number of brand new students there now.
Yes, we've been open for about 6 weeks now, and we have 38 students already enrolled.
Wow.
So it was a little overwhelming at first. We had such a group of people coming very quickly, but we're very, very happy about that because I'm so glad that the area is really embracing what we're doing, because I think it's so great for the kids and the parents have really, once they understand what we're doing and they see the process, they're really encouraging in terms of, you know, they're really hopeful that and glad that we've come to the area with this new program. And actually, the parents are sitting in, watching and observing some of our rehearsals that the kids are going through, and they're amazed at what their kids are doing in such a short period of time.
Now, I'm just thinking, for what all of these other schools in the area, including yours, I'm wondering if, you know, you got the kids out there and teenagers, what have you. It's a great program because if kids out there who are thinking doing, you know, going into their band or something like that. Now, when I was at high school, there was, you know, some of the guys, they did have electric guitar. They had, you know, for an orchestral band and stuff like that. But what I'm thinking now is, are any of these schools now signing up the parents? You know, are they getting into it? They must be getting it. You know, these kids are younger and their parents are still young as well. So they must get interested as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's funny. Parents will come in and say, "Boy, I wish you had this when I was a kid."
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, we do. We have an adult program. I actually have 8 adults enrolled with lessons, and several of them are interested in putting together an adult rehearsal class." And many of the schools around the country, that's exactly what they do. Adults come together and they do a one-on-one lesson, and then they do an adult jam session later in the week. So we will be offering that program as well. So it's a great, if you've ever wanted to play in a band and just don't want to have to worry about the structure of putting it all together, you just want to show up, get a lesson, and then jam and play with other musicians, then that's going to be the place to come.
It's also a good venue because they could jam with their kids. You know, I mean, you know, even at the School of Rock, even at the home when they're practicing on their own, like, hey, you know, my dad's playing, you know, he's wailing on his guitar like I am too. And that's got to be really cool for especially, you know, if dad or mom or whatever, you know, they have, they're taking interest as well. So that's, you know, I think that's a good a portion of the School of Rock as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a boy last night who was taking his first drum lesson, and on the way out, his dad was asking my teacher, he says, you know, I play guitar. He says, will it hurt if I try to play my guitar with him while he's playing? And he was like, no, absolutely not. That's great. If you can jam with your son and start playing drums, I mean, that's what we're all about, is playing together and playing, you know, doing rehearsal-type performances.
One person I'm thinking of who I saw years ago, great keyboardist, I believe he passed away now, Jimmy Greenspoon from Three Dog Night. He had the huge Wurlitzer on, you know, but you had, you know, Felix Cavallari with the Rascals. You also teach the key of C, the keyboards as well. How do you really get into it? I mean, it's kind of tough. Sometimes it is tough for certain people. When you've got the treble on this side and on your left-hand side, you've got the bass. So you've got to almost, and if you have a floor organ with, you know, like the pedals that they have in church these days, that's kind of tough to do, you know. So, but nowadays you've got the little keyboards, you know, years ago they had the spinets and all that stuff. But how do you start teaching somebody keyboards, you know, the regular keyboards?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's keyboards, that's my specialty. Mm-hmm. That's what I play now. It's funny, some of the young students that have come in, you know, they really embrace playing keyboards. What's good about keyboards is you get your left and your right hand doing different things.
Yeah.
And that's always a unique trait. You know, it's one thing to be, you know, with guitar, it's completely different because you're playing multiple strings and it's a completely different setup. But when you're doing, you know, your left hand is going in one direction and your right hand is going in the other direction on the keyboard, that's an interesting process, and that's a really good learning experience.
And just so, look at Jerry Lee Lewis back in the 50s.
Absolutely. And you know what's good about I love some of those organ pots where you like, especially like if you think about the organ behind like a great Tower Power song.
Yeah.
I mean, a funky organ with that little syncopated rhythms, and it comes in at the perfect time where it doesn't step on the other instruments. I mean, that's another thing about performance, is learning how to interact with other musicians. If everybody plays at the same time, it doesn't work. So you learn listening skills. So when a guitar player backs off, the keyboard player puts a little riff in, and then vice versa, and they don't, then they learn not to step on each other. Uh-huh. And if you listen to some of the great recordings out there, whether it's Tower Power, Chicago, some of the great bands out there, I mean, you see that all the time with those dynamics, and everybody, there's always space for every instrument. And I always tell kids, some of the best notes you're going to play is when you don't play.
Yeah.
That space in the song where it happens at the perfect time and it just leads into the next section of the song, that's sometimes the best part of the song.
And a lot of these kids are out there now. You and I know about this, about the old jam sessions. You know, jam sessions started back, you know, Glenn Miller and Louis Armstrong and Gene Krupa and all these things back, you know, in Harlem, New York. But these kids now, you know, they're starting, you know, they're jamming together. When they're on stage, you know, they can showcase them. You know, they can showcase their talent for a few minutes, you know, whether it be a guitar solo, a bass, certainly, they do that in a lot of the bands like Earth, Wind, and Fire these days. I know there's a great guitar riff that Al McKay did with Earth, Wind, and Fire. And, you know, you go back and forth, all these guys. And I tell you, there's a lot of ladies out there that are tremendous out there as well. But when you get them really up on the stage, you know, they've got to learn all this stuff, the right timing. The timing, as you said, is important. But when they're going out there and jamming, they're doing their solo projects. And that's got to be important as they do their final gig there up on stage.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the things that we spend a lot of time building creativity into the show. Because mm-hmm. We're not going to just perform the song the way it was recorded.
Right.
What we're going to do, and this is what I do with all the live bands that I play in, is we look for ways to be creative. We add solos, we add drum breaks, we add vocal, you know, all the music starts and you have vocal harmonies. You know, I'm so fortunate to have so many vocalists in this first class that we've been working very hard on vocal harmonies. These mm-hmm. girls have been putting together 3 and 4 part harmonies on some of the Beatles songs that we're mm-hmm. doing. And it was funny. It's amazing to me that within the first couple of rehearsals, they were getting it. And it's mm-hmm. like these kids, they're like sponges. They can really learn quickly. But, you know, part of it is you've got professional musicians that we show them once and they can hear it, they can see it. Then all of a sudden they try it and they start practicing it and they start getting it. So I think it's really important to make the show have its unique features about it with vocal breaks, mm-hmm. drum solos. I like to stop and showcase the rhythm section where I go with just the drums and get the bass going with a funky beat, and then all of a sudden you bring in the music and you bring in the vocals and you start building up the song again. You know, some of the recordings have that built into them, but there's a lot of opportunities to take a basic song and mm-hmm. a basic show and you really incorporate those elements, because in a live performance, that's what makes the show. And you see, many of the artists, that's what they do in a live performance, is they don't do the song like they recorded it.
No.
They add all these little extra things. They add a longer guitar solo, uh-huh. You know, and other little niceties that make it great.
We got a few more minutes left in here. One other question I had for you. I have a listener out there who calls us a lot of times, emails us. She's a former school committee member here in Attleboro. Her name is Jackie. She's got a wonderful little grandchild out there who is just a few years old, I think 4, 5, 6 years old, and he is huge Beatles fan. Now, they'll email me every once in a while here at the studio. She emailed me a few months ago and said she wanted to hear this song or that song from the Beatles. When some of these kids are saying, like, Beatles who? You know, they'll say, like, you know, Ringo Starr now is on tour again with his all-star band. McCartney is still out there. But do you get some of these people who'll say, like, who is that? You know, some of these performers that are either passed on or, you know, they were stars back then, like, you know, the Davies, you know, mm-hmm. from the Kinks or something like that.
Yeah, well we're doing, with the British invasion genre we're doing, we do get some of that. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing because the kids, they step back and they listen to it. Like, we're doing Hard Day's Night by the Beatles okay. as one of our openers, and most of the kids knew that.
Sure.
But a couple of the songs that we've been starting to introduce to them, at first, they're like, I haven't heard that song, but I like it. Mm-hmm. And it was funny to me because when we were doing our vocal workshop a couple of weeks ago, one of the things we did in the vocal workshop was we were overlaying all their exercises on the recorded versions of the songs that we're working on. So it was a great observation for me to watch the kids enjoying the music that we had selected. We had selected 6 songs by that point, and I'm sitting there observing the class as it's going as it's taking place, and I could see all the kids were tapping their foot, bobbing their heads to the music. They knew the words already, and so it's like they had, within 3 weeks, they had embraced this music that they had not heard yet and really started to get into it. You know, I have a saying that it's not what you play, it's how you play it. So it's not the particular song. When you get up and you play a certain, like I've been a musician since I was a teenager.
Right.
And you don't know, some of the songs that I play, I've played them hundreds of times. And you would say, Dave, do you ever get bored? And no, I don't. Because when you're performing that song, it's completely different. You're not. It's not like listening to it, it's performing it. You'll be looking at the crowd, you'll notice that somebody in the back of the room is actually watching everything that you're doing and appreciating your performance. That's what you that's why you're playing. It's not because you enjoy this particular song, you actually enjoy doing the performance itself and having people enjoy what you're able to offer them.
As you said, that's the basic thing. It's the music appreciation. I mean, when you go into schools like the School of Rock, you're really getting, you know, the real things. You're getting the real things, and it's exactly what the School of Rock is. Last minute we have, Dave, first of all, I want to thank you for coming here today, and good luck on this whole thing. How can people get in touch with you, and if they do want to have, you know, even if themselves have a question for you?
Yep, definitely. We have a Facebook page. If you go School of Rock Attleboro on Facebook, you'll find us there. We just got our 1,000 likes the other night. You can also get us online at attleboro.schoolofrock.com. Or you can just drop by the school at your convenience. We're right on Route 1 in Attleboro, just moments down the street from Guitar Center. It's 185 Washington Street. It's right across from the Triple Play Car Wash. And there's a little Speedy in there. So come on, if you have a moment, you want to stop by for a tour of the school, don't hesitate to drop by, and I'd be happy to take care of you.
And you said 2 o'clock this Friday afternoon is your grand opening.
That's with the ribbon cutting.
With the Chamber of Commerce. I know Jack has been really helping you a lot with that.
He's been very helpful.
The other thing, as we talked about earlier, networking especially with the Chamber of Commerce. You know, you're a new member of the Chamber, and hopefully people will come out and see you. You know, maybe, you know, like our business after hours that we have here at this building tomorrow night, you know, maybe one person will say, hey, I need this and I need that. You know, is there a School of Rock in the area? Well, yeah, there is one now in Attleboro.
Yeah, it's been amazing, the welcome that we've gotten in the community from other business people, parents, and just the people that live in the community. It's been really great, all the positive feedback that we've gotten, so I'm really encouraged by that.
All right, Dave, thanks very much, and hopefully we'll see you there Friday, and hopefully a lot of people will come out on Sunday for your grand opening as well.
Great, thank you very much.
Keep rocking. There you go.
Rock on.
Rock on. There you go. All right, Paul is up next. Yes, he is. He missed his debut yesterday here at Paul Healy, but we'll be back tomorrow morning right starting at 6 a.m. here on 1320 WARA. As I said, Paul is up next. Have yourself a great Tuesday.